guys know about Tradwives? Okay, so there's a whole pool of women now who, I wouldn't call them right wing, but they're a right wing adjacent. You know, there are women out there now that are Tradwives. They're traditional housewives. They're all hot and they're all like, I cook every meal for my man, and the minute he gets home, I just want to please him. Some of you women out there watching this are like, OMG, I'm a Tradwife. They're usually all beautiful and it's giving 50s housewife aesthetic. In the kitchen, meal prepping, maybe making a casserole, baking. They're traditional housewives. They're very modern and very attractive.
I actually don't believe that everyone should be a traditional wife. I think that it is a choice, and I think it's a lovely choice if a woman wants to simply be a wife and a mother, and that's enough for her. And it's a simple way of living with traditional gender roles. It's balanced, and we don't have to do it all as women. I think we've proven that it's possible, but at what cost, right?
Right, and in terms of what being a trad wife involves, what do you think it means to be a trad wife?
Well, to adhere to traditional gender roles. So what I mean by that is the husband, he is the provider of the home. He goes out, he works, and he knows how to protect his family if need be. And the wife, she's the homemaker. She does the cooking, she does the cleaning, and she takes care of the home and children, if there are any, and herself.
Whoa, you won't believe what Airbnb just pulled off. Airbnb has already banned a political activist named Lauren Southern, whom we'll label LS. Her parents were just banned from Airbnb because of their association with Lauren Southern. Well, after Lauren Southern's tweets blew up, and Airbnb was embarrassed for banning her parents from the platform, Airbnb said, hey, we've received your appeal and we have unbanned the parents. But guess what? The parents never sent in an appeal. Instead, Airbnb must have received so much backlash that they finally decided to unban someone because of their political viewpoints. Not a way corporations should be operating, in my opinion.
Oh, you're only successful because cleavage. I'm like, okay. So then, like, I completely stopped having cleavage for years. Like, and there was, like, very minimal, because people would say, like, I mean, I remember even, like, Roosh said, like, if you had no cleavage, you no everyone would forget you within 60 days. And I did it. And I was like, okay, there was no difference. Okay. Then they moved the goalposts. Oh, actually, it's because you're a pretty woman. And which, like, suddenly that narrative changed. Before, I was ugly woman boobs. Now I'm pretty woman. So it's like, oh, you're only successful because you're a pretty woman. I'm like, okay. So I went 6 months without wearing makeup on stream or anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh no, actually you're only successful because you're a woman. So it's like the goalpost just kept getting moved. It's like, right. it makes you just want to throw your hands up and give up. So I just almost play into it where I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Being a woman's so easy, guys. Like, I get everything. Like, seethe, cope and seethe.
On demand. It's really easy. It's like my white privilege. I just get my check in the bank instantly. My woman check, right?
Today's article is about the conservative thought named Lauren Southern, who decided to be a tradwife and realized it wasn't for her. So she's going to claim that because she had a bad experience, the tradwife lifestyle isn't for women. But let's get into it before I say anything else. The title of today's article is Lauren Southern, How My Trad Life Turned Toxic. The online ideology doesn't work in the real world, and it's written by Mary Harrington. She's a feminist who calls herself a reactionary feminist. So you know she's going to love this tradwife fail, because it's going to reinforce her feminist ideology and be a massive cope to her and other feminist spinsters like her. I'm going to be skipping the political parts of this article because this isn't a political channel, nor do I want YouTube to censor this video if I say any of the isms that feminists slander their enemies with. So, let's get balls deep into this article. Does promoting marriage and motherhood inevitably make women easy targets for subordinate status, increased vulnerability, and a return to second-class status? Let's stop right there. Already, she's proving that feminism is about women being in charge, and it's to make men subservient, because mothers are vulnerable for the fact that they have to take care of a newborn baby. So mothers need a protector, someone who will keep a roof over their head and get food on the table. Dare I say, a husband who's the head of the household? The man being in charge comes with a responsibility, but feminists seem to look past that all the time. They'll describe what a trad wife does, but never what the husband does, to make it look like he's sitting on his ass all day and being taken care of. And of course, a lot of these thoughts actually do this with the loser Chads and Tyrones who will sit on the couch all day, play video games, and eat their food. And then say men aren't shit because the men they picked were losers with elite physical genetics.
I'm gonna tell you guys a funny story, okay? So we were out hanging out, and she took my phone, and there was a cute guy I was texting, and he knew about Lauren. And so she took my phone and texted him the worst thing you could possibly text a man, like, ever. Like, more than, like, oh, I hate you, oh, like anything would have been better. Literally, if you told him...
I don't remember this.
Lauren, if you told him to off himself in Minecraft, that would have been better than what you sent him. Do you know what you said to him?
No, what did I send? I must have been...
She sent a Russian Giga Chad, okay? She sent him, quote, please love me, end quote. So, you know, I don't want to hear any complaints about Agent of Chaos BS. Like, I will be devilish until the end of time for that one.
Guys, wait, did it work, though?
All right, continuing with the article. One of the very first columns I wrote at Unheard back in 2019 described how, for me, becoming a mom meant giving up on a great deal of the liberal ideology I'd embraced when younger, because it was impossible to square with the embodied reality of caring for a baby. A relatively conventional home life turned out to be much more fulfilling than the radical one I'd adopted with my progressive politics. So what this feminist writer is saying is, having a kid forced her to be an actual adult? Because she has to take care of the kid? Maybe stay at home to make the child raising process the most efficient because, I don't know, maybe it's like women are born to raise kids. Just a thought.
Let's talk about the woman versus this woman debate, right? Because this has become a hot topic, and myself included, a lot of women are getting pissed and we're speaking out, right? We're women. I'm a woman. Don't call me cis woman. I'm a woman. Call me that. I don't need an adjective. For the women who were and wanted to have children and were able to and were blessed enough to breastfeed, we breastfed. We didn't chest feed. We breastfed, right? We're mothers. We're called mom or mommy, not birthing people or birthing persons, right? Being called mom or mommy and being labeled as a mother is like the top gold star, right? It is such a gift and a blessing to be called mom or mommy and to be labeled as a mother. You're not going to take that away from us. That is so rude. Why is it okay for different groups or different communities to plow through our boundaries, right? And disrespect the hell out of us. But when the roles are reversed, if we were to do the same and we were to disrespect their gender identity or disrespect their pronouns or accidentally misgender them, we would be labeled as transphobes, misogynistic, bigots. I want to preface this with saying that I don't care if you say that you're a cat. I'll call you Whiskers. What I don't really give a shit what you do. I'll call you whatever you want me to call you. I don't care. But make it make sense. Why is it okay from people from one group or community to basically disrespect the hell out of us and plow through our boundaries? But if we do the same, all hell breaks loose. Make it make sense.
Back to the article. My accounts of questioning this individualistic ideology and embracing marriage and motherhood have resonated with social conservatives. Most of these, it goes without saying, feel, as I do, that family life and women's distinctive sexed realities should be better understood and valued in the public conversation. Some, though, take more hardline positions, that women should never work, for example, that we should always be submissive, or even that women's right to vote should be repealed. She, like most feminists, if not all, aren't feminists when it benefits them. Like, I'm pretty sure she stayed home to take care of the kid.
Nobody admits anything they've done! Even though I'm coming from a back, none of you want to touch!
Here's the thing, I'm actually not mad about women lamenting that chivalry is gone. I think chivalry is a great thing. Here's the catch, though. Based on this woman's haircut, what she's wearing, I'd say it's almost guaranteed that she is in fact some sort of girl boss, high-powered career exec woman who doesn't actually adhere to the female traditional gender roles that chivalry was kind of invented to protect. So she doesn't want tradition. She just wants special treatment. And that's the rub with so many modern feminists. It's all about what women can get, what privilege we can have instead of true equality. Because when it comes to true equality, like, hey, men and women, it's fair game, anyone to get a seat, they actually don't like that. So I'm sorry, ladies, but you kind of made your bed.
And despite that, she still wants the responsibility of a man, like the right to vote, even though she'll never want to sign up for the draft. And this is a limousine liberal who can work from home by writing articles. She doesn't really have to quote-unquote go to work, like be a server at a busy restaurant, because even if she had to do that job, where Sims gave her big tips, she'd be happier and more grateful staying at home and being a mother. God forbid she actually had to do a man-dominated blue-collar job like being a welder, plumber, or a car mechanic. This is why she wanted the quote-unquote the freedom to work, because she doesn't produce anything of real value. Society will keep on running without her feminist drool, while society wouldn't function if the garbage men stopped collecting garbage, or if men decided to stop maintaining the power lines.
I'd love for the feminists, please apply for the oil rigs. Please go do the hard jobs in society. They're open, they're hiring, because I don't think men or women are equal until we do the equal work. Go apply to be on the oil rigs. Go be a plumber, go be an electrician, go be on the front lines of the military, and then we should have equal rights. But until feminists are willing to do that, I don't believe we should have the freedom without the responsibility.
Okay, well, I don't think that I'm physically built for that. You might be, but I'm absolutely not. You said you were a volleyball player, and so you've got more strength than I do. I don't think
I don't have more strength. I don't have more strength than the average. I don't have more strength than the average man. But again, it goes back to go be a plumber. You want to be equal? Go be equal.
Notice how that feminist tried avoiding responsibility or accountability by telling Pearl to join the military since she was an athlete. What does that have to do with that feminist not practicing what she preaches and get a blue-collar job? That's a deceptive thought in action. Skipping some. Southern's story might easily serve as a cautionary tale for how socially conservative talking points can lead women into danger. For where I lost my 20s to commune life and niche sexualities, she left media at 22 to embrace a socially conservative template for women, the lifestyle often idealized by social media influencers as tradwife. Except it wasn't all 50s pinafores and cute cupcakes. It was a living hell. Nor, as she has learned, was she the only conservative woman in this position. And it just shows that, even at the age of 22, which is what most men would hope to find a female in America at that age to marry, she was too old to get married, because she slept around too much, thus can't pair bond. According to rumors, she allegedly hooked up with a handful of male conservative influencers. Her cautionary tale is to men, which shows that even conservathots aren't worth getting married to. If they were truly conservative, or traditional, or not like a feminist like they'll proudly claim in their clickbait videos, they'd be a virgin till marriage and a wife with kids by the age of 20. Not going to college, aka HOE University, and getting banged out at the Republican frat parties.
Probably one of my worst stories ever. I was raised Mormon.
Yes, I did know that.
My mom told me, actually, because she watches your podcast.
Dude, she's at home. When you're Mormon and you're dating as a youngster, you come up with loopholes. And those loopholes can lead to some, like, awful stuff. Do you know what derfing is?
No, is this that trend that people on TikTok about?
That's soaking.
That's soaking.
That's soaking.
Okay, I don't know what...
This is derfing. Derfing is dry humping. Okay. It's a lovely word for dry humping. It's very sexy. You're like, do you want to derp? And they're, oh,
is
right.
Is it like a specific term?
I don't, so that's like a loophole, you know.
I was
a
teenager
once. We're derping.
What else are you going to do when you're that age?
Exactly. And another loophole was, if I put like Band-Aids over my boobs, he's not actually touching Band-Aids.
Right, yeah.
So I put like Band-Aids over my nipples and be like, God doesn't see you underneath Band-Aids.
Back into the article. Comparing our experiences, though, two things emerge. Firstly, that this is not simply a matter of the right being uniquely toxic for women, though. As Southern's story reveals, there's plenty of scope for toxicity. It's rather that purist ideologies as such map at best uneasily onto the practical realities of life as a woman, and especially as a mother. In short, both are feminists. One is outward and the other is inward. As in, it's ingrained into Lauren Southern because of society. Remember, Lauren Southern is a career lady being a right-wing commentator and journalist. She's independent, which means she'll always have one foot out of the marriage. So if the man puts his foot down, she's going to buck because she's much more famous than the guy she married.
Girls who are super, super confident, extremely successful, so pretty, like...
These types of women are always single, and I'll tell you exactly why. The most attractive, most successful women have the least amount of qualified options in dating that they want to pursue. And let me tell you why. Women do not want to date down when it comes to looks, money, status, and nobody should date down in terms of those preferences if that's their prerogative. Now think about the kind of men that super successful, high-earning women will be dating. They'll be dating men who are the most attractive men, probably with most ambition, with the most money, but they'll be dating men that have the most options with women. Guys that have the most options with women take a very long time to mature, and they don't want to settle down. If you were a man with millions, you're a man with 20 women chasing you at all times, would you want to be in a relationship? Absolutely not. So now think about it. If you're a woman who's trying to date a guy with this status and this attraction, good luck finding a guy who's going to settle down. And that is why the most successful high-earning women have a very hard time finding a great guy to settle down with.
Both, ironically, Lauren Southern and this feminist writer takes advantage of the gender norms when it benefits them.
So AOC, I forgot her name, Georgia? Georgina?
Georgina. What was her name? Georgia? I think it is Georgia.
And then Marjorie Taylor Greene. Fuck Mary
okay.
Kill.
I'll F AOC. She's gorgeous. You're gaslighting yourself. You're lying to yourself if you don't think she's pretty. This is like a right-wing cope. It's like when the left try to pretend every single right-wing woman is just an evil Nazi Barbie or whatever. And, you know, you're just coping. AOC is pretty. Georgia, she seems like she would be a powerful match in a marriage. You know, You saw her speech about independence, about protecting the family, being a mom. I feel like I'd want her as a wifey. Now, I do like Magic the Gathering. I truly do. But I'm sorry. I'm going to have to kill her.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. You said
I'm
Magic?
I'm sorry, Queen. MTG, Magic the Gathering.
That's so funny.
Back to the article. Southern was perhaps the most telegenic figure in the brash, young, and very online alt-right movement which emerged in the 2010s. Quickly gaining international notoriety. Skipping some. Then abruptly, she disappeared in 2019 to embrace marriage and motherhood in her husband's home country of Australia. She was, it seemed, all set to embrace the nurturing, feminine, domestic role promoted by right-wing traditionalists, idealized by tradwife influencers, and criticized by progressives as dangerous and stupid. 4 years later, though, Southern caused a new round of shockwaves. This time with a video recounting what happened next, the breakdown of her marriage, her return to Canada as a single mother, and a stint living hand-to-mouth in a cabin in the woods. So she chose to be a single mother because she can't be domesticated, and the feminists like this one are using this as a confirmation bias to validate their radical 304 views. For example, because feminists and 304s get used up, they have a perspective of being used up on every relationship. They were the nail that got hammered. So they see any relationship with a quality man as him being a hammer.
Here's what I find so tragic about these young, pretty, conservative women. You're such a gaslighted demographic because one of the pillars of this ideology that you're bought into is that some people are just inherently superior and inferior people deserve to be exploited. And sure, you know, women are technically property, but you don't have to worry about that. Because you are hot property. Exceptions will be made for you. So you're more than willing to play into this needlessly cruel game because you've been assured that you'll win. And soon the young winning man of your dreams will look at you and say, yes, that is what I'm supposed to want, and acquiring her will make me look like a superior man. And on your way to your superior life together, you will become his obedient, righteous, lonely, domestic servant. Congratulations. Until one day, you get a scary mammogram, and you discover that he never signed up to be a nursemaid, and unlike you, the young 24-year-old bleach blonde at the office understands that he's the most important person in any room, and she'll have no qualms about poaching your mate because he's her ticket to a superior life. And at that moment, when the handle has snapped off of the basket that held all of your eggs, you might realize that you were flattered into giving your entire life away in service of a man who only ever saw you as a commodity, because I assure you, that is how these men see you. And being hot property won't have protected you from a life of being used up and discarded. But here's the kicker. You'll have sunk so much of your life into proving your own politics right that you won't be able to direct that rage in the appropriate direction, because that will mean admitting that you were had. So there you'll be, a middle-aged woman with a pert haircut and great Botox, standing in line at a Kroger, making the fact that your life didn't turn out as promised into an assistant manager's problem, because don't they know that exceptions are supposed to be made for you. Good luck, babe. Good luck.
Continuing, Southern has attracted vitriolic criticism from the right for speaking openly about how trad life went wrong for her. She, however, sees speaking out not as betrayal of her own side, but as continuous with her earlier willingness to challenge progressive consensus on topics such as immigration. I'm not worried about saying the things I'm saying right now that are getting me so attacked online, because I've dealt with this. I've dealt with this with my critiques of feminism, and every single one turned out, oh, maybe she was onto something. She proved that she was a conservathot, and it shocked a lot of the normies on the right who are not red-pilled. This is why I'm covering this topic, to help men avoid this pitfall. Conservative women are better quality women than feminists, no doubt about it. They can't brag about sleeping around like feminists or 304s. They have to look as pure as possible. That being said, they're not trad wife qualified. Because even one who's had four boyfriends before you, if you married her and you became the fifth man she slept with, that means the marriage will have a 20% success rate. So get that through your head. Just because a female claims out loud, online, to you, to your friends and family, that she's not a feminist, doesn't mean she doesn't have feminist tendencies ingrained in her.
Would you ever be loyal to a guy?
I feel like I am sometimes. I am right now.
She's fucking John Zerka while married to a Mormon bishop, and she shoots
porn. It's amazing.
But you're not loyal to your husband.
I am loyal to his penis right now.
You're loyal to John Zerka's penis, but you have a fucking husband.
Okay.
He has a husband.
So your Mormon husband, if he was watching this and heard everything.
He probably is watching.
So how does he feel about John Zerka? Like, is he supportive? I mean, is he proud of you?
He's not like, oh my god, please fuck my girlfriend. But he's like, you're in your 20s, like, get it out now so I can, like, marry you when you're loyal and you're 30 and I won't, like, fuck my cool boy.
Sounds like a man that's very secure in himself.
Continuing. Four, she tells me she's not alone. She tells me she knows many other women still suffering in unhappy trad life marriages. One of her WhatsApp groups, she says, is like the underground railroad for women in the conservative movement. Some of these are prominent media figures. There are a lot of influencers who are not in good relationships who are still portraying happy marriage publicly and bashing people for not being married while being in horrendous relationships. She hopes that in speaking out, she can reassure all of these women who are thinking in their heads, I'm uniquely terrible and I'm uniquely making a mistake, that no, something is more generally amiss. This is what happens when men marry modern women. A real traditional woman wouldn't have a career nor sleep around. She'd get married right away and be happy getting taken care of while she cooks, cleans, and raises the kids. And let's be clear, these females chose to get married. As in, I would bet they chose to lie about their true body count to get their marriage. This is why I say, no hymen, no diamond. And it just proves that statement. Also, Lauren Southern is comparing the luxury of being a tradwife to slavery by calling this group chat of Tradwife 304s the Underground Railroad for Women. It just proves she can't pairbond, and she's as much of a modern woman as any feminist out there.
I don't even want to say misogyny in a negative light, because it's just accurate. If you look at a woman in the workforce and you ask yourself, does she deserve to be here? That's not a rude or offensive or bigoted question. That's become a genuine question today because of what feminists have done to the hiring process. It's like you have to look at them and be like, I don't know if I want that person to be partnered up with me on this job. I don't know if I want that person sitting beside me, because I have no idea whether they actually earned their position or not. And now that applies to all of us. Doesn't matter how hard you freaking work. We've all got that air of question around us. Do we deserve to be here? And you have to ask yourself that. Did I benefit from these gender quotas? Did I benefit from this feminized hiring practice? And the The likelihood is you probably did, whether you wanted to or not.
She's promoting work for women. She's not saying work till you find a man. She's saying work like be a career woman. And how feminism ruined the workplace for women. Why would she truly care if her ultimate goal was to be a trad wife? Back into the article. What then is amiss? In her view, it's not that conservatism as such is fundamentally mistaken, or that complementary sex roles are unworkable, but the online trad life ideology has distilled a version of these roles that's both rigid and wildly oversimplified, and thus woefully ill-equipped for real life, in ways that pose significant risks for women in such marriages. How, then, did Southern get from posting videos titled, "Why I Am Not a Feminist," to defending women's sex-specific interests within family life? This is, after all, not a million miles from what used to be called feminism. It's a long and bitter story, in which Southern did her best to live a purist internet ideology to the letter, only to receive a grim object lesson in its shortcomings. It's called Lauren Isn't Qualified to Be a Trad Wife, and the man she married, no offense to him, but his value wasn't high enough. Lauren needs someone much more famous and richer than her, especially someone very masculine, to even consider following. This is the curse of being a successful woman, that the men she'd truly respect and desire wouldn't commit to her.
Women who are better educated and better employed reduce down their mating pool. What's good for their educational and employment achievements is not necessarily good for their dating prospects. Relationships where the woman out-earns the man are 50% more likely to end in divorce. Relationships where the woman contributes more than 80% of household income, twice as likely to end in divorce. Relationships where the man is not the primary breadwinner, he is 50% more likely to need to use erectile dysfunction medication. You can imagine the dynamic. The guys that are super wealthy, well-educated, and tall, usually, they have this big block of girls that they can run through if they choose to. These women sometimes get used and heartbroken by the guys at the top. That causes them to be bitter and resentful of all men. The group of guys at the bottom are essentially invisible, but they are being tarred with the same brush as the guys that used and ran through women. So those women retreat into careers. These men retreat into porn and video games. So you end up with both sexes moving further and further apart from each other.
Back to the article. Born in 1995, Southern grew up in British Columbia in a middle-class, conservative, Christian home. Southern was, she recounts, part of the first generation to grow up predominantly online. She and her sister, now a DJ and Twitch streamer, spent their adolescence in the kind of internet hinterlands where wild ideas flourish, free of grounding in material reality or practical experience.
Felt that I have reverse daddy issues.
What is a reverse daddy issue? You're like daddy's little girl?
I had a great dad. Like, my dad is the freaking best. Amazing man. Like, when I look back at my childhood, I am like, I wish every girl had my dad, because he was just so good, so supportive, such an amazing man. And all the men in my life, especially growing up, were like really, really good people. So I got this like inaccurate perception of the world that all men are just like fantastic, wonderful people.
Oh.
So it was like the reverse of like a girl with daddy issues who just assumes all men are bad. So I'm like, yeah, I can couch surf at random people's houses. I'll be totally fine. And it took me, you know, obviously I've had more life experience now, and I know that there are some very, very, very not good, very not, you know, not friendly men out there that you should avoid, and you should probably make more mature and responsible decisions not to run into them or stay at their house on their couch for free. I reckon I just was like really lucky that I didn't get murdered.
And this is why internet, and especially social media, is harmful for women. Lauren's conservative Christian family are 0-2. They failed. Both of their daughters use their looks for making money, and both are as single as can be. Lauren is a single mom, which is one of the lowest females in the dating pool. Here's a photo of her sister, who's a Twitch streamer.
And horrifically, many of these child influencers may never get to have a life or mind of their own, as it will be entirely controlled by the whims of the collective audience pushing them one way or another. And what's worse is many of their comment sections on TikTok or Instagram are completely deranged and oftentimes perverted. This is, of course, increased when you get little kids who post about their dance competitions with, I kid you not, twerking involved, or beach shots where they're just in swimming gear. Sometimes you can tell the parents are either blissfully ignorant or just trying to ignore the pack of wolves they have thrown their children to. But in the worst cases, I've actually seen parents start selling access to pictures of their children in bikinis on Patreon-style sites. And in some cases, Instagram itself. The whole thing is sick.
I know Lauren has done groundbreaking journalism, like exposing these sick parents who sell pics of their kids on social media. But let's be real. If she wasn't attractive, she wouldn't get as much attention because her work is supported by a simp army, who will like and share all of her tweets, videos, and maybe even buy her books. She even admits this.
I also know at the back of my head that the only reason my feminism videos went viral is because I was a woman saying them and not a man, and at the time that was a rare thing to do. And it doesn't take away from the achievements. It doesn't mean that, I didn't get those that mass kind of cultural conversation going to an extent, but it leaves a bittersweet taste in your mouth, knowing that perhaps there was a man that could have said it better that went by completely ignored, you know?
Yeah, and it's crazy that people strive for that. People fight for that, for what you're saying made you feel so terrible. They're like, no, we want this, actually. We want to be tokens. They're like fighting for it.
And I can't imagine how much more pride I would have in what I do in a world that was truly based on meritocracy.
Continuing with the article. So when marriage beckoned at 22, she tells me, Riley, I thought I had won the lottery. They were married within 4 months, arguably the equivalent, for the right, of my left-wing embrace of communes, anti-capitalist demos, and niche sexual subcultures. She was quickly pregnant. There were warning signs from early on. If I ever disagreed with him in any capacity, he'd just disappear for days at a time. I remember there were nights where he'd call me worthless and pathetic, and get in his car and leave. 4 months is rather quick to get married to someone, and it sounded like she chose the wrong man or she simply didn't do her end of the marriage. She's complaining he called her worthless, but do you really think this career lady is going to fully cook and clean when at the very least, both are the breadwinners? A trad lifestyle doesn't work in a 50-50 financial relationship. One of the crucial trade-offs is the man making all the money and is responsible for all the bills in the house. That's why the traditional wife knows her cooking and cleaning full-time is a fair trade-off.
Everyone says marriage should be 50-50. It's the biggest crock of bullshit I've ever heard. It's never 50-50.
Yeah.
Ever. And so what we do is we quantify where we are. So if Steve comes home and he'll be like, I got 20.
Just in terms of energy.
Just energy, investment, kindness, patience. I'm at a 20. And I'll be like, I'll cover you. I got you, brother. Like, I'll pull the 80. Sometimes we come home, which we have done a lot. My mom has been sick. And I'll say, I've got 10. And Steve, like 2 days ago, said, I'm riding a solid 25. So we know that we have to sit down at the table anytime we have less than 100 combined and figure out a plan of kindness toward each other.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because the thing is, marriage is not something that's 50-50. A partnership works when you can carry their 20 or they can carry your 20. And that when you both just have 20, you have a plan where you don't hurt each other.
She ironically lives a 50-50 marriage and just proved how it doesn't work. Both her and her husband come home tired and don't want to do anything. And now they have to barter and negotiate every night who does what. Is that type of marriage you really want? Is that a so-called successful marriage? That's why splitting the labor to traditional roles is the best solution, because it worked for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. As always, I wish you tremendous success. Now it's your turn. What do you think? Let me know your thoughts in the comments section below. Remember that if you leave the best comment, you'll get $5. Thank you so much for watching. If you found value in this video, hit the like and subscribe buttons, ring the notification bell so you don't miss out on future uploads, drop a comment, and share it. See you in the next video. Till next time.